If you don't know me, I am not anybody really to be known. My name is Brian, and I'm the college minister down at Georgia Southwestern. I am an employee of the Georgia Baptist Convention, or Georgia Baptist Mission Board, as it's called now. And man, I tell you what, me and Johnny Cash, I've been everywhere, it feels like, in the last month. And so it's good to be back here in Ellaville. You know, sometimes you just don't realize how good things are until you're gone. And I just want to remind you guys of that God is good here at Ellaville. You know, we built this building over here a few weeks ago. I was speaking at a church that was maybe 2 months away from closing their doors. We have a wonderful choir. I was at a church a few more weeks ago that had two people in the choir. I've been at church after church that doesn't have any college students, church after church that doesn't have anybody in their 20s or early 30s, churches that don't have any international students or any international population coming to visit them, churches that don't reach out or have a ministry to the hearing impaired population. All of those things are happening here at Ellaville Baptist. And so I want to encourage you that even on the worst day here at Ellaville is better than the best day at a lot of different places. So praise God for that. All right, we are going to be in Colossians chapter 3, if you would like to turn there. And I'm going to be talking about kindness today. And I'll be speaking tonight kind of on part two of kindness, if you'd like to come back. And we're going to be kind of laying down the foundation, so to speak, of kindness, of Christian kindness this morning. And then tonight we'll be a little more in the practical kind of nuts and bolts of it, kind of what we can say and what we can do and how we can do those things. So to start us out with, I wanted just to kind of set the stage for us that Christian kindness is a distinct thing. So Christian kindness is different than just normal kindness, all right? So I know if you think I'm talking about kindness and then you're just reflecting back to everything that's in your life as someone who's grown up in Georgia, don't think about that. I want us to think bigger than that and grander than that, because kindness in the South is motivated by a number of things, and many of those are not God Almighty. Kindness in the South is sometimes motivated just by Southern manners. I know when we lived up north, it was just so weird. Everybody thought I was weird because I said yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and yes, sir, and no, sir, and I called everybody Mr. and Miss, whatever. But that was just how I was raised. I would get a pop on the back of the head or a switch to the leg if I didn't do those things. And so it was Southern just manners that taught me that. It wasn't a kindness motivated by Christ. A lot of kindness that we have in the South is just so we don't embarrass our families, right? I mean, how many times has that been that you speak to these people when you're spoken to mostly so that you don't embarrass me? Right? That we do these different niceties or manners or kindnesses just so that you don't embarrass your mom and dad or don't embarrass your grandparents. Again, this is different than Christian kindness. It's not motivated the same way as worldly kindness. I think oftentimes worldly kindness is motivated by kind of a quid pro quo. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. We see a lot of that in networking, that if you come and you'll do this for me, then I'll do that for you. Christian kindness is just not that. So this morning we're going to talk about just a couple of different kind of themes. We're going to talk about the definition of Christian kindness. We're going to talk about our distinction as Christians and Christian kindness. We're going to talk about our motivation, and then we're going to talk about some application. So before we read our text in Colossians 3, I want to just offer up this definition of Christian kindness. And Christian kindness, I think, is this. It's speaking and acting with the goal of pleasing God and doing good to one another. So Christian kindness is speaking and acting with the goal of pleasing God and doing good to one another, right? So we're kind of hearkening into the greatest commandments there. It's different. The motivation is different than worldly kindness. All right? So what I want us to do is we're going to start reading in Colossians 3. We'll read 12 through 15. All right? So Colossians 3, 12 through 15. Put on, then, as God's holy chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against each other, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And then verse 15 says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. This is a powerful text. It has a list of positive things, right? Clothe yourselves. This is the idea of putting on these actions. That's the theme in Colossians, is put off the things of the world and put on the things that are of God. I would encourage you, even in kindness, to put off the things that are worldly kindnesses so that you may, in fact, put on things that are Christian kindness. So the motivation is totally different, and it's the heart that God cares the most about. Because there's been many times where we have smiled at each other through gritted teeth and well-wished them, but in our hearts had malice and bitterness seething underneath the surface. That is not Christian kindness. Christian kindness has its root in this fact of God's chosen people, right? All of these things. As God's chosen people, put on compassion and kindness, humility and gentleness. Bear with each other. Forgive each other because you're God's holy people. And on top of all this, put on love. Just to tie it all together. Put on love. Right? And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. So I want to talk just a little bit about a distinction that Christians should have, that we should have as a church, that if you call yourself a Christian today, you should have a Christian kindness. You are distinct. You are different than the rest of the world. You're different than your lost coworkers. You're different than the people on the corner. You are a distinct people of God. So we're kind because we are God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Kindness flows from Jesus, right? It's not an add-on, like we're not just kind and then we just tack on Jesus. True Christian kindness flows out of the fact that you are a Christian, and it flows out of the work that Christ has done for you. So the believer is to be distinct. I'm going to go three things that are our distinction, right? The believer is distinct. We are distinct from the world. If you are a Christian today, you are regenerate. If you're a Christian today, you have a new heart. You have new motives. You have new abilities that the world doesn't have. Because you are a Christian, you've been given a new heart. You've been given new abilities. You've been given new motives. The Bible talks about how we're more than conquerors. You no longer are in slavery to sin. Because you have a new heart, because you have new motives, because you have a new ability, you no longer have to give in to your flesh. You no longer have to be angry. You no longer have to give in to gossip or slander or hatred or bitterness because you are distinct from the world. You're new. You're different. The things that come out of your mouth should look different than the things that come out of the world's mouth. It's because the Spirit of God dwells in the people of God, and it causes them to do things that the world could never do, to hear things that the world could never say, to see things that the world could never understand, because you are a Christian. Are you a Christian today? If you are, then you should have a kindness that is supernatural, because you're not defined by the natural man anymore. Your kindness should be supernatural. And I think Christ is our example, you know? Even as he was spit on and crucified and all of those horrible things, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. he wasn't saying that out of Southern culture and then inside harboring bitterness. He literally meant that. They've just done all these horrible things to me. Father, forgive them. This Christian kindness, we're distinct as believers. The same as the church. We're distinct as a church from the world. Kindness should be king in the church. Can I say that again? Kindness should be king in the church. Because we are the body of Christ. And our body is supposed to be made up of regenerate believers. Our body is supposed to be made up of only people who have a new heart. Only people who have new abilities and new desires. That's why the church membership has to be taken seriously. So the body and the members are distinct. We should be, as Christians, distinct with love, distinct with kindness, distinct with peace and unity that the world can never know or experience. It's sad if you have more unity at your secular office than you do here at the church. We should be the place that should be the most unified. We should be the place that people are drawn to here because there's just a unity and a peace and a love at this church that we can't find anywhere else in the world. And I think that is true. I mean, that's part of what drew my family out here to Ellaville, is we saw things that weren't in other places, that weren't in other things. We both of us had the opportunity, my wife and I, to join all kind of different civic things and clubs and da-di-da, whatevers. And we said no to all of that so that we could join the church that's distinct and different, so that we can give and love and serve with this body of believers who are different, who rise above all of those other things because they are God's chosen people. If we look back as the church, we're supposed to be these things. As God's holy people, we're supposed to clothe ourselves with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. All of those things that we're not about our own interests and we're not about our own agendas and we're not about rushing things through or going fast or pushing things through in a party. We're trying to move all together in kindness and in gentleness with patience and love for each other. That we don't let people fall behind or get lost because they're one of our sheep. And we don't let people run ahead and get all out of line because they're one of our sheep. And we just go and we care and we're compassionate. That we forgive each other. That we don't hold this grievance or this bitterness. I still remember one time I was working at a church and I was a youth pastor, and I said, you know, the church really does love it when little old ladies bring us brownies for our youth events. We've got one this Sunday. If y'all would bring something, we would really appreciate that. Nobody brought any brownies. And I asked the secretary, why didn't anybody bring any brownies? Was something happening? She goes, no, you offended them because you called them little old ladies. And I said, all right. But also, how sad is that? You know? I mean, how sad is that? That could stop stuff from happening in church. How petty is that? That I had more figured out as a 8-year-old Christian than those 60 or 70-year-old women did. How sad. The Christian home is supposed to be distinct. It's not supposed to look like other homes. What you do with your time is different than other homes. What you do with your money is different than other homes. What you do with your words and your tongue and your wife and your kids is different than other homes. Because you are the holy people chosen of God. You're able to do different things because the Spirit is within you. You're able to be loving and kind in a superior way because there's this supernatural regenerative work at work inside of you. You're not just running off of your own efforts. You're running off of God Almighty inside you. When Jesus left, he promised two things to help us through life. One was the Holy Spirit, and the other is the church. the Holy Spirit is in us to make our family and our Christian homes distinct. So our definition is speaking and acting with the goal of pleasing God and doing good. Our distinction is because we are God's holy people. We're just different than the world. We act and speak and do things different. Our motivation is different. So, like love, kindness has to be motivated different. All right? So one of the things we go through a lot in marriage counseling and premarital counseling is love can't be just based on your feelings. If any of y'all have been married over 7 months, you know this is true. Okay? By the 80th time that you have to pick somebody's underwear up off the floor, love is running short. All right? So love is not about a feeling. True biblical love is about more than that. And it's the same with kindness. Like, we're not just kind to those people that we feel like being kind to, or that we have some kind of selfish motivation in being kind to. Kindness is motivated not by what we feel, but what we're called to do as God's holy people. Like, we're called to do it. Colossians 3 calls us to that. Therefore, as God's people, clothe yourself with compassion and kindness. So even if you don't feel like being kind or loving or compassionate, we're called to be kind and loving and compassionate. But also, God doesn't leave us alone. He's given us the helper inside of us, the paraclete, the one who's called alongside, the Holy Spirit, to enable us to do the things that God has called us to do. It's a matter of the will. We're not in a bondage to the will, to slavery. We are able to choose kindness. Oftentimes, kindness even comes in a contra-conditional way. I think that's when Christianity shines the brightest. How can these people do this to you or have said this to you, and you turn around and in kindness and do this back? And you say, because Jesus has been kind to me. Because God has been gracious to me, I will show them grace. Have you been offended? Have you been hurt? Have you been ignored? Have you been forgotten? Have you been slighted? Choose kindness because you can, even if you don't feel like it, because you are one of God's holy children who has been empowered by the Holy Spirit to do the things that God has asked you to do. Despite how you feel, choose kindness. You have the Spirit inside of you. You are a new creation. Choose kindness. Because of our desire to please God and glorify God, choose kindness. If you want to glorify God with all of your life, choose kindness. Because of our love and our respect for other people who are made in the image of God, choose kindness. You think about that with foreign dignitaries and foreign ambassadors. When they come over to America, we're supposed to extend kindness to them because they represent the sovereign nation or the government or the king from which they've came. That's humanity. We are the ambassadors. We are the ones who have the image of God who have come to this place. And we need to respect and love these people who are made in the image of God, who represent God. Because of our desire to maintain supernatural unity that comes through the Spirit, choose kindness. Because we want our church to be unified more than we want the carpet color to change, choose kindness. Because we want to be unified more than we want anything else, choose kindness. And finally, because of God's kindness to me, choose kindness. Ephesians talks about this in 4:32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as Christ forgave you. I don't deserve Christ's forgiveness. The things I've said and done against him alone in my own life, I don't deserve his kindness towards me. But because he has been kind and gracious to me, I can be kind and gracious to others. It's my act of worship, which we'll get into in a minute. So oftentimes our acts of kindness, this is moving towards the application portion, they don't come in like divinely appointed, you know, neon sign moments, you know, like, Brian, exit here for your kindness moment to display God's glory, right? It usually comes at whoever Sarah schedules our soccer games that don't get over until 9 o'clock at night. It's usually in those moments, all right? It's 9:30 at night, and I'm trying to get two kids that have been up since 6 a.m. to sleep. And they're mad. Those are moments for Christian kindness, where you just laugh with them and you have grace for them because you know they're exhausted, and that's why they're crying about brushing their teeth. Even though we've been brushing their teeth since they first had teeth, it's not anything new. We can extend that kindness because Christ has extended this kindness to us. See, these moments of supernatural influence are everywhere. They're in our marriage. They're in our parenting. Think of the supernatural influence you could have at work if you brought Christian kindness. Why aren't you joining in the water cooler, yan, yan, yan? Why aren't you talking about, you know, the coach and this happened and that at football games and something's got to happen and we're going to be the ones to make that change and all we have to do is da-da-da-da-da. As a Christian, you don't have to fall into that stuff. You are able to rise above it. You are able to speak something different. In your social life, in your church, all of these are these opportunities to bring kindness to bear that will have supernatural ramifications because you're bringing a supernatural kindness that flows from God in you. So I have three kind of emphases here for kindness. Three exhortations was my nerd word I put in there. Three exhortations about kindness. So the first one we've already talked about. Kindness is obedience to God. First and foremost, kindness is obedience to God. As God's holy people, he's asked of us to put on kindness. It's obedience. We can put on kindness. The second one we haven't talked about as much, but this is equally as true. Kindness is an act of worship. Remember back to the definition. It's speaking or acting for the pleasure of God or to please God. Kindness is an act of worship. So when you overlook an offense, that's an act of worship. When you just let it roll over your back, the time that your wife or your kid or your coworker said something, that's an act of worship. It's an act of worship when you hold your tongue. When you're with Brother Mac, we want you to sing and wag your tongue. But for most of us, we would do better to worship by holding our tongue. It's worshiping God when you just don't say anything. Just keep your mouth shut. It worships God. You worship God when you go the extra mile to show love to someone. And it doesn't, we're not doing it for us, right? Go in the extra mile because Christ has gone the extra mile for you, right? It worships God. This is what Romans 12 is about. Presenting your bodies as living sacrifice. This is your spiritual act of worship. You sacrifice being right. You sacrifice being the top dog. You sacrifice all of these things to worship God. So that he will be on top, so that his name will be proclaimed, so that he will be seen right and not you. Kindness is obedience. Kindness is worship. The third thing is kindness softens hearts. And I want to encourage you with this one a little bit extra, is that kindness softens hearts. So we have our Hoosier One campaign going on. Kindness softens hearts. Kindness softens hearts to receive the gospel. Why are you so kind? Why do you keep doing this? Why do you keep going the extra mile? Why do you not say these things? Why do you not come out with us and do this or act that way? Because of God. Why are you not angry? Why do you not gossip? Because of God. Why are you so nice to me? Why do you always ask about me? Why do you always remember and say you're praying for my aunt or whatever random things I talked to you about last week? Because of God, because he loves you, and I love you. It softens people's hearts to receive the gospel. My family got saved because of the kindness of a deacon neighbor that lived next door to us. That despite all of the immoralities that me and my family were doing, there was a deacon that lived next door that never judged us, that never cast a wagon finger at us, but was always kind. And in his kindness, it eventually won us, his ear, his mouth, to invite us to church. And it was from there that God did all the rest of the work. But it took his kindness to soften our hearts to hear what he had to say. So your kindness is one of the things that can soften people's hearts to hear the gospel. Matthew 5:17 talks about that. Let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That when you do these things, when you do this supernatural Christian kindness, they see your good works and it makes them able and desiring to glorify your Father in heaven. So think about that as you think about who's your one. How can you extend kindness to them to help win them to Christ or bring them to church or influence them towards the gospel? There's a couple of other things I wanted to mention about that, about how kindness softens hearts. I think this is really important for me, just as a husband who regularly inserts his foot into his mouth. Kindness helps others receive correction. So like for the times that you do have to say something, and I don't mean like tell them two nice things about themselves and then tell them one bad thing. Like I don't mean that. I'm not talking about like the sandwich of correction, you know. Tell them they're awesome, tell them they're terrible, tell them they're awesome. Like I don't mean that. What I mean is that if your life is consistently kind to them, they will hear you when you bring a word of correction. Because they know that you're there to love them. They know that you're not nitpicking them. So if you have a life that is continually going in a manner, if you have an employee and you're consistently kind to them, and then you have to bring a word of correction, they'll receive it because you've laid this seedbed of kindness all the other 180 days of the year. It's beautiful. Kindness also softens the heart to receive instruction, to teach people how to do new things or to do something different. So if you're in a job where there's a big transition and you've got to learn a new software system or go to a new whatever, if you've laid down the seedbed of kindness, it softens the heart to receive the idea to do something new or to try something in a different way or to implement a new system. Kindness enables your heart to receive instruction. And probably for most of us, this last one is the most important, I think, is that kindness softens hearts to receive love. Kindness softens hearts to receive love. So is your marriage on the rocks this morning? I want to encourage you that kindness will again open the door of your spouse's heart to receive love. Simple acts of kindness will open their heart to receive love. It's been clenched shut from pain or hurt or slight. But when you start with kindness, it will open their heart again to receive love. The same kind of thing, if you have a rift in a relationship, maybe someone that used to be your friend or your family member that you don't speak with anymore, if you want that relationship to be repaired, Christian kindness can help that. Because someone that's been hurt, even if it's you or even if it's somebody else, kindness will open that heart again to receive love. So how can you start mending a broken relationship? Simple acts of kindness. Giving them an encouraging word. Encouraging them about things that you see in their life. Thanking them for being your friend for all these years. Sharing a memory from times past. Whatever things can help soften that heart to receive love again. So as we kind of wrap up, I want to encourage you guys that our kindness and our love from others or for others flows out of God's kindness. It flows out of our commitment as God's people. It flows out of a work that's been done in your heart that we've done up here in baptism as a picture that you've died to your old self and there's a new one that has come to give you a new heart with new motives. So our invitation is I want to invite you to come and bring your cares and your concerns and your complaints. Bring them to the Lord for your marriage, for your children, for your co-workers. Now is not a time to harbor bitterness, to wallow in self-sorrow, to steam or to lash out or to slander or to gossip. If any of that is in you for anything or anybody, come. I asked Mac to do "What a Friend We Have in Jesus" because of that line. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry to God everything in prayer, right? What a privilege. So we're going to have some time now in our invitation. You can come up here if you want. You can pray where you're at. But let's carry our burdens and our concerns to the Lord in prayer and ask for a revival of kindness, Christian kindness in our lives. So if you would, stand with me as I pray, and if our musicians would come. Heavenly Father, we ask for your Spirit to work in us today, a supernatural work of kindness, restoration. God, I thank you that we are new creations. And I pray that whatever things you brought to mind, people or situations, God, that you would repair those in our hearts before you and with one another. Thank you for the example that Christ has given us for love and kindness and sacrifice. Strengthen us now, Lord, during this time. In Jesus' name, amen.